Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Afternoon, everybody. We are looking at a panel on spirit-led living. And for whatever reason, I've been asked to host it. People must really see the Spirit leading in my life. So it's going to be good. Now, because of that, we've got some expert panelists. Can our panelists come on up onto the stage? Welcome our panelists right now. We've got Jamie Malcolm, Jess and Lee, Musti, and Renee. Woo! Take a seat, guys. Very good. So, hey, I want to frame this for a second. We're looking at a spirit-led life, and there's so many different ways we can explore this topic. What we really want to do today is help people navigate and overcome the obstacles or hurdles that are preventing that depth of spiritual living. Or maybe you've kind of found yourself worn out by religion, worn out by routine, just found, lost your rhythm. And we're going to really make this practical today. But the premise of it, and I really want to note this, and then I'll stop talking and get at people's genuine genius, is the premise here is that it's not the religious works that will make us right with Christ. That the premise of what we do devotional time for, the premise behind living a spirit-led life is not to get us closer to God. We can't do it. That we must always remember the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came truly God, truly man to pay the price we couldn't pay. And so my encouragement and for you to take hope in as we navigate the difficulties of and the practicalities of living a spirit-led life is to not forget that even at your worst, you are deeply loved, that you do not have to get yourself right. You do not have to get works and go through steps or formulas to get right with God. The way to get right with God is to believe in the one who paid the price that only he could pay. So that's our premise this evening, this afternoon. Okay. But we're going to get to some questions. We're going to look at some practicalities on navigating a spirit-led life, and we're really going to look at a range of topics. And what we want to do is help you, really give you some practical tools from a range of experiences. So these guys are going to give us some great insights. No pressure, but we've chosen you because you're awesome. And so one thing we wanted to start with, and I might throw this one at you first, Jamie, to start us off. Is people sometimes when they've kind of drifted in their devotional life, or they've maybe had kind of an on fire relationship with God, and then just life's gotten in the way, or stuff's happened, or sin's entered, whatever's happened, and they kind of feel like, oh, I've got to get right with God. Sure. You know, I've got to get right with God before I go to God. I've got to go through these rhythms and habits or whatever. What would your encouragement or instruction be to people like that?
So the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. So it seems that it's the bold that get to the throne, not the perfect, not the ones that have spent 1,000 hours praying, the ones that have done Bible college. Come boldly. And it's great scripture because it says, come boldly to the throne. It doesn't say come boldly to the outer courts or the inner circle or hanging out with people in the courtyard. It says, come boldly to the throne. I always say to people, show up guilty, pray tired, give broke, which sounds awful. But I always think any success I've had with God is just because I keep showing up.
Love it.
And the amount of times I feel like I show up in the house of God, and even God's going, you probably should have the weekend off, mate. but you persist and you come boldly until you get to the throne. And don't let any thoughts or any actions of your past or what other people have said stop you going all the way to your Father's arms. Don't stop. Even when you come to a conference, don't stop. You know, we're in day two. Don't stop. Don't stop. Come all the way until you're right in his presence, because that's where the answers are, in his anointing, in his presence. We want an answer for something. It's all there. It's in his throne room. Just get there. Whatever it takes, push past the people, push past the thoughts and get there. That's my thought.
Love it. Come on, get up for Jamie. Anyone else want to add to that question about how do you overcome that kind of feeling of, oh, I've got to get it right first before I go to him because I've got, things have been a mess, or I just haven't got things in alignment?
I'd say that we just need to get the right revelation of who God is, and, you know, the idea of I need to get myself right and then come to God. that's not God's ways. And God's way is that we come as we are and Jesus makes us right. So just having that, getting that revelation first.
Yeah, that's awesome. We come as we are. Good. Yeah, Renee, come on. Take that mic.
I also just was thinking, you know, we've been talking about coming, you know, coming out of the hiding place, and often, you know, shame is the emotion that's attached to not coming boldly as, and, you know, shame is a very powerful emotion. It's visceral, it's physical, it's behavioural, it invites us to hide. But because of like knowing who we are, we can overcome, like emotion doesn't drive our life. So don't, just because you don't feel, sometimes we're emotional reasoners, I feel like I should be better or not shamed. You know, we're not condemned, we're convicted, but we're not condemned. So just be wary if there's that vulnerability to emotional reason. I can't wait till I feel like it before I do it.
That's awesome.
I think the only thing that I might add to that is the concept of getting things right with God has always been a bit interesting to me, because God's not an acts-based God. Like, how do you actually get right with God? By giving your heart to Jesus and laying it all out on the altar and giving your life to him. So the thing that you need to get right with God is the thing that you need to actually get your life right. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of grace. Yeah. It doesn't matter what your life looks like. It doesn't matter what you're doing. As long as you give your heart to God, like, that's it. That's how you get it right. That's how you get things right with him. And then the rest is sort of just achieved by living in step with the Spirit.
Yeah. That's awesome. So good. Yeah. Come on, get off and whiskey as well. I found for myself too, like you were mentioning, Renee, like your feelings are going to change a lot. You're going to go through a multitude. Well, especially if you're someone as wild as I might be, that you're going to have a lot of emotions in a week, and your feelings can change a lot. And so if you rely on or let your feelings and how you're going that week or that month or in this season, if you allow that to dictate how you engage with God, then you are relying on a wrong gospel, you're relying on yourself. And so what brings me great comfort is that, okay, I'm going to be feeling these things. I'm not going to dismiss it, deny it, reject it. But what hasn't changed is that there's a resurrected Christ. What hasn't changed is that grace is a scandal, that we are getting what we don't deserve and we don't get what we do deserve. And so remembering that means I can kind of, all right, I don't have to get right. I can just step in and let grace do its work. That's what God loves to do. He loves to do the work. Okay, so then though, let's get a bit more practical. So say you have just kind of, the life has got to you, your rhythms are out. Maybe you had a really great routine, or maybe there was a time when you were really locked in and you felt like, man, I'm not only got a great devotional life, but the Spirit's really leading me. And then you kind of just lost that momentum. Justin, I'll throw this one at you. What are some ways that you've kind of seen yourself reorient when you've kind of drifted away or when life's gotten in the way? What are some things that you've applied or implemented to help you kind of realign your behaviours and routines with Christ?
Yeah, I'd say becoming a mum throughout my rhythms of having that. I really enjoyed my devotional time, and I had a kind of a window for it. I was in the morning and had coffee with it and like just really have all the time I want. And that really just ended as soon as I became a mum. And what was more annoying was that Al's just devotional life went on as usual.
Let's get him.
Nothing.
Let's get him, Jason.
Just like strolling on the beach early in the morning, watching the sunrise.
Oh, man. Wow.
So I did find myself quite annoyed. I did feel quite annoyed, and I felt kind of a loss, like, oh man, my life's going to fall apart because I don't have this devotional time. Yeah. And I feel like all the fruit of the Spirit in my life is just leaving because I just feel angry that I...
Thanks, Al.
That's all I got time for. Let's...
Yes, sorry. And now you guys can work it out, okay.
Yeah. But I really found that, hey, I was really convicted that God doesn't care about how much devotional time I have. Yeah. He cares about, is my heart devoted to him? Beautiful. And so I had to get over that and go, okay, well, what can I do to stay in line with God and stay Spirit-led in motherhood land? Because I'm going to be here for a while. Yeah. And so
And Al's not changing anything. Yeah.
Wow.
So I just kind of made a decision that, hey, God, I'm just going to invite you to be part of my whole day. And Mother, a day with a child can feel quite long some days. But I just found myself that no matter, you know, what kind of, I guess, mundane task I was doing throughout the day, multiple tasks, just like using one of the moments to pray. So I'm doing whatever. And I'm praying in that moment, and then I will. I need to drive somewhere, so I'll be using that moment to listen to my Bible, since I haven't really had the window to read it. Yeah. And then, you know, we'll often have big decisions we need to make, so taking time to ask God, just waiting on God. I'll be changing nappies and feel God give me the answer for something. And it's like, wow, God, this is a stinky one, and I have the perfect answer for something. And I went from being kind of annoyed to realizing, oh, When you just focus on that, your heart is devoted to God. Yeah. You've got all the time you need, because God is with you in every single moment, and it's about inviting Him in.
I love that. God's not concerned about the time you have; He's concerned about the devotion of your heart to Him. Amazing. And maybe sometimes the word He's giving you when you're changing those nappies is, "Where is Alex?" And yeah. Okay, that's my last drive-by. Sorry. Musti, help us out here.
All right, if we're talking practical, I love practical. First things first, if you've been derailed in your walk with God and being led by the Spirit, identify what it is that has derailed you and eliminate that thing.
Cool.
Because that thing has come to steal from you. It sounds obvious when I say it out loud, right?
Jessen can't get rid of Alex, actually.
Oh, wait, in this case, okay. All right.
Hey, we need you, man.
Do not get rid of your spouse, please. It's not what I'm saying as a somewhat freshly married man. That's not at all what I'm saying. That thing has come to steal from you and steal from your relationship with God. I mean, in my life, I am a huge Bible nerd. I love to, I learned this about myself this year. It took me 6 years of knowing God to figure this out about me, which, you know, we're all learning and growing. But if I read something in the Word and I don't understand it, I'm suddenly Googling it, I'm looking at transcripts, I'm trying to find out what this means and what the context was from there. And then you can see that I'm going down a rabbit hole of eventually I'm on a random Wikipedia page that has nothing to do with God. And suddenly I'm looking at the Roman Empire and why they're using...
Come on!
Right?
Come on! It's a fascinating thing!
Sorry, I'm looking at why they all shared one toilet, and it's really strange. It's... nothing to do with God. Yeah. But it started with me reading the Word, and then it eventually divulges into something not of God. But that's the thing, right? I didn't recognize this as a problem for me because I thought it was a good thing. I'm learning about God. I'm learning about His context. I'm deepening my knowledge. But I was allowing myself to get distracted by the pursuit of knowledge and by my own intelligence, which was gifted to me by God, 100%. But... and my own yearning for knowledge, but it wasn't beneficial to me.
Yeah.
And so this thing actually ripped me away from a relationship with God because, I know of God, I know about God, but I sort of stopped knowing God.
Yeah.
And I actually had to start sitting down, asking for the Holy Spirit's help to give me discipline, to not start going at random Wikipedia articles, not look at the context of this one tribe in one random spot in Israel or wherever it was, and just read and try to figure out what God is trying to say to me in this moment and what the Holy Spirit is trying to lead me to. So sometimes we have to recognize that just because you're doing a good thing doesn't mean that your relationship with God is actually benefiting from this thing.
And hey, man, really good. Got to cut those things. Awesome. Okay, so we want to talk about, we're really passionate as a church. We don't want people, we know the devil is out there to deceive, to trick people with falsehoods, to create a weight in our faith that isn't quite there, to condemn us, to bring us down. And can do that in a myriad of ways, can do that through personal attacks, through scripts that we're replaying in our head, through the flaring up of traumas or whatever it is, or just people in our world or news or media can really deceive us and create a friction or a block in our relationship and connection with God. And Renee, I might throw this one to you first on helping people with their devotional time. Like, what can that look like? And kind of taking the pressure off that they don't need to have every single prayer time 5 words for this generation. Or it has to be 97 minutes long or anything like that. Like, how would you help people overcome some of the falsehoods? Or what's a falsehood that you've seen that people have been kind of holding to that you're like, hey, let's correct that now. Let's break it with some truth.
Good question. I think probably one of the common patterns that I see is that for many of us, we have this more, I suppose, demanding part in our head, and it'll say things like, you know, you should really read your Bible, you should be praying more, you should be worshipping more, like if you really love me, you'll do this more. And the tricky thing is that sometimes it can be almost misattributed to God or the Holy Spirit, because those things are actually good things to do. But if you listen to the tone of that part, it creates stress and pressure and inadequacy. And so it's, you know, the Lord's so kind where he can help us discern, is this actually me saying to you, you know, spend time with me? He's really, the Holy Spirit is so, he's just like a gentleman. He's lovely. And if it makes you feel like you're pressured or stressed and you'll feel it in your body, I would encourage you to talk back to that part from your healthy adult and say, hey, I am already saved by grace. I love to dwell with my Lord, but I don't need that pressure to do that. Because it can invite actually avoidance. When we have pressure, we have that feeling of I'm inadequate, often it leads to an avoidance behaviour. And before we know it, we haven't read the word or, you know, fed off daily bread for a week, 2 months, years, whatever it might be. That would be my encouragement.
That is genius. Yeah, come on. I get that too, like the shoulds or like, and that's that kind of, it could be a religious spirit, it could be whatever it is that's informing that. I call it getting the shoulds. Oh man, I got the, you know, you can't say that other word, but I got the shoulds. Like, okay, I can see this script kind of amplifying and multiplying the wrong things, and it does actually end up, it doesn't push us closer to God, it creates distance because it's not the grace of the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Can I just add one more thing to that too? Because the thing is that it might have come actually from very well-meaning people, yeah, or, you know, yeah, a system you've grown up in, or yeah, Christian parents where they've said, hey, you really should read your Bible. Like, they're trying to help us, but it's an internal part that actually is not needed and it doesn't help us. So we don't have to like get it attacking at it. There's another part of us sometimes that has a bit of a bully part, and we do need to declare authority against that part very clearly. But you can kind of just say, hey, I don't need to listen to you. I've got this. So buzz off.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Jamie, you got something to add there?
Yeah, there's a great saying that says, pray as you can, not as you can't. And I was down at DY once putting a message together on spending time with God. There's a great scripture. Jesus says, come to me, all you heavy burdened and tired, and I'll give you rest. And in the message, it says, you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I thought, it's wonderful. I'm going to use it. And I jumped back in the car and I was driving home and I was listening to a Joyce Meyer message and I was praying in tongues and I was going, God, this is the best feeling in the world. I love this. And I was worshiping God, praying in tongues, listening to this message. And I said, God, I'm so amped. As soon as I get home, I'm going to go to my bedroom and I'm going to spend some time with you. And it's the only time I felt I've ever heard the Holy Ghost yell at me. And he said, you are. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is time with you. Yeah. This can't be time with you, God, because I really enjoy this. Yeah. This is yeah, like, this yeah, is great. Yeah. Yeah. This is what I love. Yeah. And if I could, if anything yeah, could be spending time with God, I would be going, this is it. And God, for the last 30 years, has known this is it. Yeah. And he's known that's what I love the most. And that's the way I connect with him the most and feel him the most and get revelation from him the most. But I've never considered that time with God.
Yeah.
I've considered that fluff, inconsequential. Yeah. The only real time with God is in your room with the book of Numbers open, door shut. That's time with God. So, Maybe you don't actually know what that unforced rhythm of grace is. And maybe you're overlooking the time where you walk the dog and you feel his presence and in the surf and whatever.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that concept of unforced rhythms. And that unforced rhythm means God's going to work through your personality. He's going to work through things that you value. He's going to work through the gifts that he's given you. For me, I always used to feel really bad because I love the sound of my own voice. And
and so when I prayed, God...
Really good. Really good. Hey, really good. Okay. Hey, this panel's now over. Really good. You get one shot at that. Well done. Okay, so so I love the sound of my own voice. Don't do it again. And I used to preach to God because I used to get so excited by his word. I used to preach to him. Like that's what I used to do. And I used to feel really bad about it. So a similar experience, Jamie, I was like, okay, I can't. I'll do the preaching part later. I'll get to dessert later. We'll do the meat and veggies first. And then I was reading, I think it was in Samuel, where it says he was ministering before the Lord. And I felt the Spirit of God whisper to me, which is hard to get a word in. And he said, I love it when you preach to me. And I just felt it was a release for me because that was my gift of worship. That was what I was bringing to him. I was bringing him to what I discovered in his word. So what have you got? What has he given you? What has he revealed to you? He wants to delight in it with you. It's not like you appeasing him. You're delighting in relationship together. You're free. Going through, Musti, what are some falsehoods that you've seen, or what's one that you're like, hey, let's set some people free today. Let's correct it.
I've fallen for this trap before. When I was a bit younger, 16 years old, freshly saved, I thought, I'll deal with it when I'm out of high school. I'll figure out a relationship with God. I'll spend time with him when I have more time, because young me thought that high school was the epitome of busyness. And, you know, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, yeah, plus homework, which
just
I never did,
slog. Yeah.
Was like, I'm never going to get busier than this. Can I just say, like, if you're a young person, later never actually comes. Because you keep saying, oh, I'll do it later. And the other trap that you might fall for is, oh, I can't pray like Pastor Al prays. I can't pray like the other Pastor Al prays. Too many Alexes here. Like, I can't pray like my Connect Group leader prays, so I'm just not going to do it. The first time I prayed in front of people, I think I said 3 words. And then I said amen, and everyone kind of looked at me like I was crazy because I probably said the wrong words, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was bad, right? But the point is, we all start somewhere, and it's relational. So any time that you spend with God is time well spent. And it's not about I need to pray for a full hour and it needs to be continuous words and I need to be declaring over the nation and I need to go to a lookout so I can see all the buildings and pray over all of the people. Like, if that's what you want to do, go for it. Because that's awesome. That's incredible. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray from the comfort of my home office and sometimes, you know, like, just take my time with it. But if that's what you want to do, that's great. But, like, just start. Just start thanking God and spend time in his presence. And you'll find that eventually he'll actually speak to you about what he wants you to pray for. And then you'll build that muscle and you'll find that you'll just be transformed. All because you didn't get in your own head and you gave yourself a break. Like, we're too harsh on ourselves and God's not harsh on us. So why are we harsh on ourselves, right? So spend that 30 seconds, build that muscle and take your time. That's all I really have to say.
So good, man. Fantastic. Justin, love to hear from you on a falsehood that you've kind of seen.
I'd say the thing of where you're going along, kind of doing it daily, and then you lose your rhythm and you kind of then, you haven't done it for 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, and you kind of think that God's now way off and you have to call him back in. But actually, you don't need to take all those days to get him back. He's just there.
Yeah.
And it's just like what Dan so well shared today with his story. It's just just come back to God,
yeah,
and he's just there,
yeah,
and just do that.
Yeah. And isn't that like the gospel, like that Christ came to us, God came to us, That he is both, he was transcendent, this far off being. The whole, embedded in the whole message is that Jesus has come to you. That you don't have to pull him in. So good. Come on, give it up for Jessen. Great insight. Okay. So spirit-led living, when we think about spirit-led living, we're not just talking about a devotional life. We're not just talking about, okay, I spend my time with God, I got that religious checkbox ticked, and then I'm on to the rest of my day. Or I turn up on a Sunday and I lift my hands for a long time in worship, connect with God, give, and then move on with my week. That spirit-led living is always and constant, and it's far more than just seeking him, but it's actually living out his good news, living out the example of Jesus and the works of Jesus. And so, Jamie, might throw this one at you. What would your encouragement to be kind of just in your everyday, especially when it comes to your vocation or your work? What does it look like for you to be spirit-led?
Taking the time and taking a breath is a great, important thing to do. Thanking God's really important. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. If you can't find him, thank him. I tend to find that. It's like I find gratefulness is the brakes for anxiety. I find it's like his gates are in front of us and it's like we run past him. Come on, come with me, God. I'm going to do some stuff. Come with me. Come with me, God. I need your presence. I need your presence. I need your peace. You run forwards and backwards and he's like, if you just stop and thank me, those gates fly open. And that's what my presence is. You could even do it right now. You can do it under your breath. Yeah, thank you, God. And it might be the thing that's just missing in your life. It's incredible what happens with gratitude. It's been a big revelation in my life just recently. And I've started to do it a lot more. Just take a breath at work and just thank him for stuff. Everything. And I find it's reconnected me with practicing his presence in everything I do. Yeah.
It's amazing. So, and Jamie, just to follow up on that. So practically in your work, he might need that microphone back though. Oh, you got two? Oh, I'm so sorry. So practically in your work, how what's that looking like? Like, because you've got meetings or you've got things you need to get done, you've got to present. What does that look like? How do you actually see the Spirit lead you in your work?
It's funny. It's a great old saying. One of the old revivalists, Charles Finney, it might have been. He said, pray like it all depends on God and go like it all depends on you. And I believe that very hard. Pray hard, work very hard. You know, give it all you've got. Trust God's with you. It's got to be faith in it. Yeah. My gosh, you know, you pray and you see God, you thank God. And then you step out in faith and you give it your best shot. You give it all you've got and you do it and believe that the Holy Ghost is with you. Yeah. Otherwise, you live a faithless life. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Faith so that
good.
Works.
What's dead. That quote yeah. again? Say the quote again.
Oh, pray like it all depends on God. Go like it all depends on you.
Love it. So good. Renee. Love to, for you to share a little bit about your work as well and then how the Spirit's leading you. Yeah.
Sure. I think the word like ambassador is probably a really helpful identity word for me, that I know that I'm Christ's ambassador on earth. So, you know, in 1 Peter it talks a lot about this is not my home. I don't live in terms of this being the place in which I'm an ambassador for Christ, but I'm actually an alien here too. And I think that sometimes when we're working, you know, in the world, it can be hard to know how do I effectively be in the world but not of it. And so in order to be able to have, I suppose, clear discernment about how to love people and love them really fully, because people can, they get a whiff if it's not authentic. They're really sensitive to falsehood. But it gives me the confidence that it's okay not to be always approved of or to not be worried about rejection, because this isn't my home. I'm a citizen of heaven. My inheritance is coming. It's not fully here yet. And I think that having that real conviction that I'm an ambassador. So everything that I do, whether I'm at the grocery shop or at the gate with the kids or in the clinic room or wherever, the beautiful thing is I get to be an ambassador for Christ. And so I think it just takes the pressure off. It allows me to know that I just have to do it with authenticity and love and grace. And yeah, the Lord does what he needs to do. I just do what he's called me to do, which is be his ambassador.
I love that. Just mentioning, because a lot of people ask that. They say, how are you supposed to be in the workplace? And I find that I just find a little corner and pray in tongues really loud. No, I don't. Because that's weird, right?
Don't do that.
Just so we know. And in the canteen, taking the big... No, so I think I love the phrase being powerfully normal. Peter and John got brought before the Sanhedrin after they saw a guy healed. And the Sanhedrin, who was like the religious leaders and the media guys, they said, where does this power come from? Because you're not smart, you're not religious enough, but you seem to have... I bought my fish from you the other day, now you're yanking a guy out of a wheelchair. So you're super powerful, but you're just so normal. You're just a dude. What's the dude? I had a girl at work once, and she went through the internet, found a message of mine, and she listened to it, and she said to me at work, I heard a message that you were talking at a church. She said, I was crying. She said, are you a priest? And I said, no. Nah. She goes, what are you? She was really like, what is it? And I was like, nothing. I don't know. And it's, and I love that. There's a mystery. It's like you're so normal, yet you carry this power. You carry this presence. You'll be the sort of, it's great, right? So you're the sort of person who, you might buy the first round on a Friday night. I'm not saying you have a drink yourself.
First round of Waters.
God bless you, Waters. But you're generous. I always say, be the most generous, be the most encouraging, be the hardest worker. Be those three things. And let the power of God come out of your life. I mean, I find in work, people say, do you go around talking to people about Jesus? I say, no, it never comes up. It hardly ever, God hardly ever comes up. But do you know what comes up all the time is life. Life comes up all the time. Relationships, questions about relationships. What do you think about this? What do you think about money? What do you think about kids and all that? And when we bring wisdom into those, oh my gosh, when we bring wisdom into those situations, the Holy Ghost travels on that. My God. And people's hearts are open to so much more. So be powerfully normal. Yeah.
Be powerfully normal. How good's that? And I love what Renee was saying as well. Yeah, come on, give it up for Jamie. And even how you said it, Renee, we get to be ambassadors. This is not a chore, a religious work, or a duty. This is who God has made us to be and called us to be. He's called us to be where we are and let His Spirit lead us through that. And Jamie, what you were saying as well, I thought that was fantastic on life comes up, the conversation of life comes up more than God. Like people at our work or in our classrooms or wherever we are, they actually aren't really looking around going, man, have you seen God today? Like, is God around? No, they're just living their lives. And so if we're going to be ambassadors, that's where it's really important that we know Jesus. And from that, the overflow of that relationship, from being led by Him, from knowing Him, that will overflow into being witnesses for Him and meeting people where they are at. These guys have been amazing, haven't they? Fantastic. Jamie, why don't you pray over us? And then we'll move on.
Father, thanks for your presence. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. You're just so wonderful. We open our hearts to you. We thank you. We stop right now this morning and just thank you. Thank you for this house, for your house. Thank you that we can come into your house. As we leave and we go throughout our day, let us sense your presence. Let us be guided by you. Let us be constantly conscious of you. Do amazing things through us. We give you our lives. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, once again, give it up for our panelists. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.